Hi, this is Jackie Wicks with Peer Trainer, and I'm here with Joshua Wayne. And we are in part four in our series on emotional eating. And I'm going to briefly refer back to session one because it's relevant to what we're about to talk about. We talked about how viewing emotional eating as not something that you are, like I am an emotional eater, but viewing it as I have a problem with emotional eating. And what we briefly talked about when you have a problem is when you try to solve that, you make a decision. You know, you make a decision that that's not something that you want in your life anymore. And it brings us to a session that we had with a client of ours a few days ago. And we started talking about her issues and what she's doing, and it brought light to that point. So I asked her, I said, you know, when you are starting your emotional eating binge, you know, after, she says, at night, you know, around 10 o'clock at night, what are you doing? And she said, oh, I start off with the unsweetened chocolate. Then I move to that big, huge Lint bar, you know, the 85%, not one of those one or two small little squares, that really dark chocolate, those big bars. And she says, and then I move on to the cheese. And I said, well, what kind of cheese? And she says, I have the best cheese in my house, anything I can get my hands on. And I said, do you feel out of control, you know, when you move from the chocolate to the cheese? And she said, no, I actually feel very in control when I'm doing it. She said, you know, if I'm getting a fight with my husband and I'm really pissed off, I say, you know what, you want me thin? Take that. And she actually gestures a piece of chocolate to her mouth. And she said, but you know when I really feel like I'm in control? Instead of having the cheese and the chocolate, she says, I have a grapefruit. Then I'm really in control. And I said, well, you're still, whether it's grapefruit or whether it's the chocolate and cheese, and I understand the chocolate and cheese is going to really throw you off track, and the grapefruit probably won't have as many ramifications on the scale. It's still food. And she said, well, you know what? Things get really bad at night, and I start to feel really bad, and a lot of messed up things start to come up in my head. And she said, and I have to stuff it down. And I said, you know, is there a way that you wouldn't use food, you know, that you'd want to talk about it? And she said, well, who would I talk to about it? It's 10 o'clock at night. You know, I want my food. And I said, wow, is this what we had realized is emotional eating something that you think that you know, these binges, could you get rid of them? And she said, well, you know what? It's just who I am. And I said, it's who you are, meaning like I'm a New Yorker, I'm a mother, I'm an emotional eater. And after I said that, she kind of smiled and she said, well, yeah. And there was no defiance in her smile. She smiled and she said, you know, you kind of understand me. You kind of understand where I'm coming from. And I said, oh, she says, I like the food. I like it.
You know, and the interesting thing is that in her mind, she really believed that she had decided that she's not going to be an emotional eater anymore. You know, she would eat the grapefruit some nights. Like, that was for her, like, the evidence that she's really making progress and moving forward. But here's the problem. You know, food clearly has a comfort role in her life. Like, she likes it. I mean, it's something that she doesn't really readily want to give up. And first off, you know, we totally understand that because it's really helping her. I mean, there's something she's really getting out of it. When things get kicked up at night and she's alone and has nobody to talk to, food's there for her, and it's just totally, you know, it plays a positive role in that respect. But there's, of course, there's a consequence to it, because the reason we're talking to her in the first place is because she's got a tummy that she really wants to get rid of, that she's had for 10 years, and she's tried all these different diets and all these different things, and she's not yet figured out how to get rid of it. And so basically the thing we said to her is, like, you know, look, we get that you really, you know, want to be done with emotional eating and you really want to get rid of the tummy, but here's the thing. The emotional eating, having food as that thing you turn to, having food as your comfort thing, that thing that you know, you like and you go back to all the time, that is why you've got the tummy. And so you have to really make a decision, like, which is more important? Do you want to get rid of the tummy, or do you want to keep food in your life the way that you've got it?
And Joshua specifically asked, have you made the decision that your belly fat is intolerable? And she sat back and she said, I hadn't thought of that before. And Joshua repeated the question, have you made the decision that the fat around your belly is intolerable?
Yeah, have you decided that you won't stand for this anymore? This is no longer an option for you.
And she said, you know what? I haven't made that decision, that particular decision that you just asked me, that is not something that I've said, you know what, I will not tolerate this anymore.
So really what it comes down to, and it goes back to what Jackie said in the beginning, is that she hadn't really yet decided. She hadn't decided this, that at all costs, this is not an option for her anymore. And the problem is, you know, and first off, it's actually, if that's the case, you know, we're speaking to her, it's good to be aware that that's where you're at. Like, if you haven't really decided, it's actually okay. Because the problem is that, you know, she keeps telling herself, she keeps thinking that she's decided, but if you haven't really decided, you can't fake being decided. You can't fake having made the decision that it's intolerable, because you'll always end up sabotaging yourself because you're building on a shaky foundation. So you always have to start in reality. You know, one question we ask in our coaching program is, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you really believe that permanent weight loss is possible? And you can translate it here to emotional eating. On a scale of 1 to 10, do you really believe that you can be rid of emotional eating, that you can absolutely be done with this habit and with this pattern in your life? And it's a really important question to ask yourself, because you've got to start in reality. You know, if you're a 2 on that scale, if you say you're a 2 or a 3, you know, that's fine. You might want to be a 6 or a 7, but if you're not a 6 or 7, you can't fake it. So you always got to start with where you're at so you can start in reality. Otherwise, again, if you're trying to fake it, or you're trying to force that readiness to be there, then you're going to end up sabotaging yourself because you don't really believe it's possible. One way or another, something will come up, and you'll find a way to sabotage yourself and get yourself back to where your comfort zone really is.
And so back to this client, when she had realized that she hadn't really made the decision that having a belly that she had was intolerable, she was a little shocked. And so what we said was, hey, what is one thing that you could do that could give you hope? What's one thing that you realize that you could do right now that would bring you one step closer to making that decision, making that commitment? And she said, you know what? I've heard this in one of my groups, and I've already kind of started to do it. I could work out every day. And when I say work out every day, I don't mean going to the gym or going running. I go over to my TV, and I turn on some music or turn on something motivating, and I start to dance. And she says, and I only dance for 10 minutes. But that dancing, and that really gives me hope. And Joshua said, and also get your energy going and get you in a different space. She said, yeah, I really feel hopeful that this isn't something that's going to be permanent.
You know, so even doing that one little thing like dancing in front of the television at night gave her hope, because it gave her a sense of confidence. It gave her a sense that she can really commit to this and start to move herself where she wants to be. Because, you know, commitments to yourself lead to confidence, and then you can build on that. It's like building blocks. The more confidence you have, then you can take on the next. You can figure out what the next one thing you do is. Maybe she then goes from dancing in front of the television to running a 5K. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just building blocks for increasing your confidence in that commitment, because that's how the decision gets made. So we want to finish up with is just ask you to ask this question of yourself about your level of belief. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your belief that you can really be done with emotional eating? And imagine that 1 is you don't believe it at all, that I couldn't convince you almost no matter what, and 10 is you couldn't believe it anymore, you're jumping out of your skin, you can't wait to be done with it. So just ask yourself where you're at. And you know what? If you're low on the scale, if you're a 2 or you're a 3, don't beat yourself up about it. It's okay. That's where you're at. So you just start to work forward. How do you start to move yourself from a 2 to a 3? To a 3 or a 4, what's the one little thing you can do? What's the one little commitment you can make to yourself? Even if it's minuscule, it doesn't matter. Start building a commitment, because that's where your confidence is going to build. So we'll leave you with that. Ask yourself that question. Have a great day, and we'll see you very soon.